want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. I cover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 411, recorded live on August 5th. I'm sorry, 412, recorded live on August 5th, 2015. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with...
John Burks.
Steven Zad Infinitum, and...
Taz 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Boy, I don't know if it's up or down, in or out, backwards or forwards. It's just that kind of week. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Groovy.
That's cool. So now we have to, I didn't even ask in the pre-show to Scott, so this is completely unfair, but just kind of out of pure curiosity, last week, where were you?
Dude, I texted you last week and told you I was not going to be on the show.
I didn't receive it, or I didn't read it, which is probably more likely.
You responded to it.
Did I?
I'm going to show you. So I'm like, what is he talking about? Here we go.
I remember talking about Windows.
Wednesday, July 29th at 12:49 p.m. Let's see if you can see this. Hold on.
Okay.
Can you see what I wrote?
It's pretty blurry, thank goodness.
I said to you, can't make the show tonight. I swapped Tuesday night with the boys for tonight. Feel free to use my notes, though. Hope the show happens. Best of luck with Windows. And you said, LOL, failed to start on both of my computers. The apocalypse has begun. Like, I told you about you.
See, all I saw was Windows, so I had, blinders on, so that's all I saw, so that's all I triggered off. I saw none of the rest registered.
I swapped Tuesday with Wednesday for my ex-wife.
Ah.
To have my boys. And so that's why I was like, I had him Wednesday.
Okay, well, I apologize because I thought I'd make fun and realized now I know that I should have known.
What is he talking about?
Okay, I blame me. Actually, I blame old age and the onskirts of some unknown thing that I don't even want to know I have yet.
Don't put me in Corey's category.
What category is that?
Okay, we'll keep that right there. So anyways, moving on. Interesting week this week. This was my second wedding anniversary with wife Amy. Yes, we're still talking. So that 2 years. So we had to go out and get our wedding anniversary geocache to keep the streak going.
Is that paper?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's what I told her. I think what we ended up doing is getting superhero. We actually did get superhero T-shirts.
tattoos. I'm like, no way.
Well, yeah. Actually, what normally happens is I buy the T-shirts and then she owns them, especially when it comes to superhero stuff or tie-dye. But, yeah, she got one that said Hulk Smash, which for some reason I found very fitting. And second, I got a very cool Batman T-shirt. So it was neat. Good stuff.
You got each other for your anniversary?
That for this one, yeah, because paper and then T-shirt, I think, is the second year.
2 years T-shirt?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that works. And then next year it's going to be something like styrofoam cups. I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. Had a lot of fun. I got a vlog out for wife Amy doing the 5 states in one day. So that's available on Head Hard Hat's channel, YouTube channel, if you check it out. And got an interesting, one of my most popular blog posts ever deals with printing out your own geocaching logs. And doing that. And for some reason, that is just like a top topic for new geocachers. So I actually did some new photographs and some new commentary and put one out for that as well. That's also on the...
Is it like you have downloadable logs?
Yeah, yeah. You can actually go to and download the logs.
I wonder if it's yours. I've been going to the same guy for years.
Yeah, there's like two or three really good ones, and there's another one that I do out there for the pamphlets to print those out.
White color. He's got the whole nine yards.
Yeah, all the different sizes. It's really cool.
Nano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took some pictures, kind of illustrating, showing up, you know, cutting paper. You know, what else is there? Put it in the baggie, you know, that kind of fun stuff. But people love it, so it's out there for general reference for you fine folks. So yeah, just keeping up with the geocaching thing. Scott, how about yourself?
It's kidless week this week.
Yay!
All the whole week. So me and Jesse have been going night caching. Two nights ago, we actually went and found, and like last night, we went and checked on some caches that we got DNF'd or were missing, you know, and so double checking, you know, yeah, getting fixing some. So today we went shopping. I don't know what we're gonna do later tonight, but we spent the early evening shopping.
Wow, isn't it great?
Oh, I forget when you have no kids all week.
Yeah, it's awesome to have kids around. They're fantastic to have for all that. But when you get that brief moment that you get stuck between, do we just crash right here and just enjoy the quiet, or do we actually go do something?
Yeah, it's nice that we have... Well, that's the fact that we're able to go out. You know, we can actually leave the house is nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's nice.
Good stuff. Mr. Corey, how about yourself?
Well, I spent most of the week trying to find a good place to stash my new gadget cache. And a lot of the great places are taken up by other caches.
You're in Montana. How bad can it be?
Well, you know, there's a lot of private land out here.
Okay.
And so I was finding new places, and there's other places that I really wanted to put it in. I pulled up to a really good place, and I saw a sign that said, new development coming, proposed, building. I'm like, I could put it up here, but as soon as I start digging ground, I'm going to have to remove it. So, no. And so, and some other ones, you know, were just like within the limit of where I wanted to be. So, I mean, I want to be close enough to where I can maintain it, but I want it to be, I wanted to kind of be on a main drag for the visitors that come to the Glacier National Park.
Fair enough.
And you got so many generic caches that are on there, and you just want to like tell the people, get that out of my way. I want to put a good cache here.
And so I'm thinking of contacting a couple businesses that. This would fit right in on the side of the building, and see if they'll allow me to do that. So
awesome! Cool. Now, is most private property out there like the no trespassing, shoot first, ask questions later kind of people, or
a lot of no trespassing? I don't know if they'll shoot first because I don't dare to try and figure that one out.
Yeah.
So, So I just I. If it says no trespassing, I just rather, you know what, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
I'd rather try to find a good piece of public property, or if I know that I find a good piece of property that somebody else owns, I will contact the landowner and get their permission.
Yeah, that's always cool. Cool stuff. Hey, Taz, how's it going?
All right. Trying to hit up a bunch of events here before I leave, because I'm officially leaving Houston. So I will be so the job offer is finally got agreed on a start date, so beginning of September I will be moving to California.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, we basically had him hired in so that we got the southern territories covered. I don't know if it's gonna work out there, Chad.
Where in California? Folsom, California. It's just west of Sacramento. Or pardon me, just east of Sacramento.
Okay, I don't know geography as well. Is that Southern California?
Central. It's about 90 minutes inland from Oakland.
Okay.
So if you take Oakland and you head west, or pardon me, head east 90 minutes. You hit Sacramento.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I mean, we need the California exposure as well. I'm just wondering if you're going to get stomped on from Podcasher. I'm just saying.
Now, what's the
They're down in San Diego. I mean, that's like a 9-hour drive.
Do you rent or do you own your house currently?
I currently own.
Oh boy.
Wow. Yeah, I've got a full relocation package, which I can't go into details on, so no, I'm not worried about that.
That is sweet. Nice. That is sweet.
Wow, look at you.
Well, look at you. Congratulations. That's awesome. All right. Well, good stuff. Let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Gearheads is episode 188, randomized show number XXXVI. So that's 34, 36, hike. Anyways, the Bear Maker will possibly be joining, and this is a quote, Dave and the Bad Cop from the West Bend Cash Bash.
Okay, for the record, I am not on that show.
And this week, Scott's actually not on this show, so that's good. speaking of which, why don't we cut a little order here from the Chicago Geocaching Podcast. No, not from the archives, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, but live and in person. Mr. Scott Burks and Walt will be live on the West Bend main stage. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Mr. Scott?
Yeah, we'll be on the main stage on Regner Park Saturday, 10 a.m. August, I think that's August 8th.
Awesome.
10 a.m. main stage. Come say hello.
Yes, come say hello. Bring your kids, but remember to bring the earmuffs.
Don't bring your kids.
For the kids. I'm just saying. Is this going to be PG-13R, XXX? What are we going with?
The usual.
Okay, so yes, Brandon, don't bring the kids. Put them off on the slides. Come by yourself. Enjoy yourself. Go back, get the kids.
Yeah.
The secret is going back and getting the kids afterwards. I'm just saying. All right, good stuff. Also, tomorrow is GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast, where wife Amy and I are going to be taking part two of the Path Tag Graphics Tutorial 101. We had so much information, so many good questions while we were going through the show. We decided to split the total amount of information and put it into two shows. So we're going to finish up tomorrow with Path Tag Graphics Tutorial 101, part two. If you got any questions, send that in to us, and we'll add it to the show with all the other cool questions that have come in as well. So we'll see you tomorrow on Thursday at the GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. All right, good stuff. Finally, if you would, please, if you enjoy the Geocaching Podcast and all the fine information and goodies and insights that we give to you each and every week, if you'd please consider becoming a patron, a contributing factor to our show, we would greatly appreciate it. All you have to do is go over to geocachingpodcast.com, and on the right side of the website, click on our Patreon, become a patron graphic. It'll take you to our webpage, and literally for a couple bucks a month, you can help literally keep the lights on. We appreciate all the goodness that you find folks are already giving to us. We appreciate the monies, and if you're considering it, please stop on by, check out the website, and become a patron as well. We really do appreciate it. All right, no geocaching question of the day this week. I'm not quite sure if Lisa's on her way to the Cash Bash or not. I know she's got a ton of stuff going on with the new cave that she has as well, and business is going out very well for there. So, unfortunately, we don't have a geocaching question of the day. Let's just kick right into...
Yeah, I think she's in the chat room, though.
Is she?
No.
Nah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's in.
Yeah. All right, so... Well, we can find out from there where things are going with that.
She says she uploaded one.
It didn't show up in the box.
She also claimed that California was southern, and I had to respond back with blasts.
All right, it may have came late after we were checking on and I just didn't see it. But anyways, we have got tonight episode 412, Handling Geocaching Cache Hiding Burnout. And this was...
I didn't understand this question at all.
Okay, this is really kind of...
I read that and it didn't make any sense.
Okay, this is how this goes. I was looking around in the geocaching forums for different information, that type of thing, and saw this one particular post from a geocacher who made a remark about a cache owner who puts out some pretty spectacular hides, apparently, and for one reason or another has decided to now they're tired of all the political stuff that goes on in the logs, and they're getting out of geocaching hiding because they don't want to put up with all the things that deal with actually putting out a geocache hide. And I wanted to include what the person wrote about what the actual cache owner said and then some of the comments that the other people that responded with this, and I thought it would make for a fairly decent discussion tonight. So the idea is this, and I think not just on this one particular individual, but for geocachers in of themselves, we did a poll not too long ago for Reboot where we said, what is your favorite thing to do? To hide a geocache, find a geocache, or create a geocache? Now, obviously, find was the top one. The second one that was in there was creating geocaches. The third was hiding them. So there's more people that want to create a geocache than actually hide them. So is that a burnout thing? Is this something that with people that have been geocaching for many, many years that do put out geocaches, suddenly they get tired of putting them out? Why and what causes that type of thing? So that's the kind of the circumference that I was going for this. Let me go over what the what some of the people put in here. This is what the person who put in the post said, and I'll just kind of break it down because the English in this was not, it was broken. Let's put it that way. So basically what it says is that they noticed that a lot, that a particular super creative cache hider is shutting down his caches due to the game changing. And not for the better, is the quote that was used in that. And they say that I can only think it's because of the one-liner logs that people have been leaving around here lately. Like lots and lots of people is what's quoted in here. I spoke to the geocacher pal who visited my state recently, and he leaves very short logs. He hates the long logs and owns a cache himself. So it's a bummer that this geocacher is shutting down because of short logs.
Okay, first of all, is this kid a millennial? I mean, what, he needs a pat on the head? Good cache, good job? Who cares what somebody writes? Does it really matter? The joy is people, when I create a cache, I create a cache for other people to find. I don't care if they write, hey, good cache, thanks for the hide. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't need that praise that's saying, hey, awesome job on that cache. Well made, well done. You're the king of cache making. I mean, who cares? Thanks for the cache. I just want people to find it. I'm happy when people find my stuff. A, because I know it's still there. And B, because I like finding stuff, so I want other people to find. That's why I have. I mean, I have like over 130 hides out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't care if somebody tells me TFTC. I could care less. And I don't see why somebody would quit because of that. You know, like, you're obviously, you need your ego stroked majorly if you're quitting because of that.
And I think a lot of that goes with, and I would be interested in the behavior aspects of this for people that do, because you see them, you hear about them. When you've got a geocacher that sits there and watches every log response and even gets to the point, well, Corey and I were talking about this earlier before the show started. My niece got very much into geocaching up in Michigan, and she wrote to me saying, Andy, what am I doing wrong? My pen broke. I tried writing the log, and I did the best I can. You can kind of make out that I was there. I even took a picture of the log, that kind of thing. The geocache owner deleted it because apparently this person's the type of person that, you know, swoops over and watches every single log entry that goes in, and if it's not up to specs, I'm going to delete it. There are cache owners out there that... Oh. I don't know if that's ego. I don't know what. I got to ask my wife, who's a psychiatrist, you know, psychologist type person, on what feeds that.
I like to glance at the logbook occasionally if I'm out there doing maintenance, but, you know, there's no way in HE double hockey sticks that I'm going out there to verify that people have logged by cash. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back on the short logs, it's like, yeah, you know, on my really, really creative ones, it kind of bugs me a little bit. But, you know, it's not to the point where I'm going to say, oh, you dirty rat bastard, you know, you should have gave me a great log on there. I understand, especially with new cashers, that they're coming in here and they think TFTC is the way of the world. Or, you know, sign log, SL, you know. But, and usually after they get through their freshman 50 or so caches and stuff, they realize, and especially if they put some out, they realize it's nice to put a decent log on there to tell a little bit about their experience finding the cache, whether it took them to a great place or something like that. But it's not required. I kind of chuckle at the ones that are just like two letters and stuff. I was like, okay,
how much more can you put
going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, but it's also like I 99% of the time I log on the fly.
Yes. Okay,
so it's literally a copy and a paste. Out with short units tonight. Thanks for the hide.
You know,
if it's something ultra special, I'll add something to it. But 99% of the time, it's a running joke around Chicago, just because it's always usually out with somebody. Thanks for the hide, or, you know.
Oh yeah.
And but that's it's. You know, I found 12,000 caches. I've seen everything. Nothing is amazing to me anymore, you know. If it is, I'll write a little something extra.
Yeah.
But usually it's hey, there it is. All right, great.
Yep. You know? Now, let me put what the actual cache owner put in response to all this. They said, and again, this is, I think Scott's hitting kind of towards the correct way with this. It said, time to start putting my hides to rest. The game is changing and not for the good. I feel fortunate to have enjoyed the end of a golden era. Thank you for those who have visited the quality found logs and the favorite points. So that was kind of the, you know, I'm done. Now, some of the forum responses, I think, are kind of can point into some good discussion with this. One of the persons said, I can only assume it's a super-duper short logs that are appearing here lately that's discouraging them. Another one, and jump in when you hit something that you want to hear on this. Another person said maybe he had to keep fixing his caches or had them stolen. There seem to be a lot of people doing this who haven't read the rules. Now, I would tie that, not necessarily the stealing part, but to this day and age where people just download the app, go geocaching, have very little point of reference to the game sport and the obsession like an experienced person would be, and just jumping in it with that respect. So, in other words, they have no idea that, you know, people would prefer a larger log. They're just saying, okay, found it, click, like you said, two letters and move on. So it's an inexperience and a lack of reference point for them to follow through and actually know. And hopefully, like, if they get 40, 50, 100 caches under their belt, by then they see enough examples to go, oh, maybe I should be writing a little more.
Yeah. And a lot of times when I cache, I'll hit, you know, 20 or so in a day, and I'll do a kind of like a cut and paste, a big log that kind of describes my day in there. And if there's one or two in there that really caught my fancy, you know, I'm gonna put a little bit of extra. I was like, yada yada yada, that one was the one of the best camos that I've seen recently, yeah, those type of things.
Yeah,
just to kind of give a, you know, a little bit of thumbs up, because, you know, while the people don't really need their ego stroke, it does feel good.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be the first one. If I'm going to put a lot of time, energy, money into it.
Would you quit because of it?
Let's no.
Put it that way.
No.
No.
I mean, no, I wouldn't quit, and I would not archive my caches. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's absurd. You know, it's And what you're saying, Chad, is like back in like 2008 to like 2011, you know, Shorty and Its laughs at me because I used to write these long, elaborate logs, and now they're simply, you know, out with Shorty and Its Thanks for the Hide. But that's because I would actually come home and then log my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm one of those people, I can't go to bed until the logging's done. So if I went out and found 100 caches that day, I am not going to sleep until those 100 caches are logged. I can't go to bed on unlogged caches. Yeah. That's why I log on the fly now, because I would be up till 4 in the morning logging crap. So, like, I just, why do that when I could just do it on the, you know, with the iPhone?
But even if you boilerplate it, even if you boilerplate a short paragraph or a couple of sentences is better than, you know, that you could copy and paste and put in with that is a whole lot better than somebody putting in two characters.
Yeah, I mean,
I went the reverse. I started out logging everything immediately and had to log it immediately on my phone to the point where now I almost just, you know, save it in my GPS unit and then use GSAC and upload everything all at one time.
Yeah.
What's funny is that, like, for the past couple of years now, when I go to West Bend, literally my log for West Bend caches is just West Bend exclamation point. That's my log for the past couple of years. It's just
yeah.
So if anybody goes to West Bend and finds caches I found, that's the log you will see. Just West Bend.
Yeah, and there's also a huge difference between your standard paper log that you're signing on and how much information you put into it now, as opposed to being able to have time if you do go back to do it electronically. You have much more of a chance, even on the fly. And again, this is something that Corey and I were talking about earlier. You have the capability of doing dictation. I did that for Scott just because. But you are able to talk into your phone and literally say within a couple of seconds, two or three sentence worth of information, and you fix the punctuation, you fix the capitalization, even if you want to go that far, and you hit send, and at least that's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've caught myself on those. It has real – I've had some real kind of – you know, what the hell's this crazy guy thinking in his cache because of the way the voice recognition misrecognizes
autocorrect? Yeah, the idea is reread.
You gotta love a good autocorrect lock, too. I put, like, out with shoddy nets, I think, or something like that.
My favorite one.
I'm like 80 caches.
Yeah. Now, my favorite one is a friend of mine here who left his porn on the front seat of the car.
Oops.
It was supposed to be 10, but it was like, yeah, why is it autocorrecting to porn on your phone?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One thing I want to touch on that he said, that he mentioned, is he mentioned the Golden Age.
Yes.
Which I think I believe him. You know, Jesse and I were having this conversation literally last night about this, about how it used to be between, like, between like 2005 and 2010,
yeah.
You know, like that age of caching compared to now, it is so different. I mean, yes. I don't want to go off on a total tangent. It's literally a show topic, but it's so different now than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean? Right.
And how many people are involved? You know, I mean, like it was, you know, 7 years, 8 years ago, it was difficult to get to 1,000 caches, to get to a milestone. It was an achievement. Now it's, you can do it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's if you hit the ET trail.
Yeah, and if you've been in the ways of the old days, then you definitely appreciate it. It was a different era. It truly was.
It really was. I mean, I was telling Jesse about it because Jesse started, you know, 2010, 2011, and I was telling her about the times back, the early when I could, like, you know, a cache would come out and I'd have dinner,
yes,
and play with my kids, and then go and still get the FTF,
yes,
you know, and like. Now it's like if you don't leave immediately, you missed it. Forget about it. It's gone.
I found one of my old PDAs, and the battery worked. I charged it up, and one of the first applications on there was CacheSense.
Oh, God.
And I mean, this back then, this was the holy grail. I didn't have to print out a whole ream of paper of log sheets to go find a geocache. It was all right there in my hand.
I don't know if it was the golden age. I think now might be the golden age, but it was definitely an age.
Yes.
Definitely, you know, an era.
Yeah.
We're in what I would call the smartphone age of geocaching.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, because I remember there, and not to go too much of a tangent on that either, I remember arguing with people saying, why would you take your $600 mm-hmm. smartphone out geocaching in the woods?
You got to be insane.
You got to be insane doing stuff and, like this.
And that's the thing. You know, I've even, you know, I didn't start until 2010 is when I officially started. 2011, beginning of 2011 is when I really started. And I've seen a change from a lot of the caches and stuff, caching trails and stuff being out in the wilderness or woods and stuff to a lot of it being urban throwdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a show topic, again, to bring up.
Andy. Oh, absolutely. I agree.
That and another show topic is child geocachers, like 78-year-olds or even...
Are we talking mentally or physically?
No, hiding caches. Me and Jesse went caching the other night, and we hit this 10-year-old's neighborhood, apparently.
Right.
And it was all these caches, and they were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, the kid, you know, nobody taught him, and he's just hiding him.
Yep.
And, you know, so, like.
We'll put it on the list. I think that's excellent. Now, this is probably one of the most insightful from the forums, and I don't want to dig too much because that's a whole show in and of itself. But this was a really, really cool response. I wanted to read this that somebody wrote in. Cache ownership requires a level of patience and forgiveness for the folly of humankind that some people aren't capable of. Once you put a cache out into the world, you are always putting yourself at risk of disappointment. People will write short, negative, and or excruciatingly stupid logs. People will damage, steal, and lose the cache. People will have different notions about swag than you do. It's part of the game, and it always has been. You can shrug and sigh and keep maintaining the cache for the benefit of those who do appreciate it, or you can pack it up in a huff and quit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Right?
Yes. I thought that was beautifully put.
It is poetry. Cache hiding poetry. Right?
Yes. And in a forum, go figure.
Last night, Jesse and I, we were one of our caches. It was an ammo can. I mean, middle of the woods, but pretty off a trail, 100 feet off a trail. Okay, and inside a tree. It's not like it didn't get muggled. You know what I'm saying? Like
yep.
Inside a tree, cache is gone. Like where the hell is it?
The squoils.
Who found this? Like, there's no way somebody stumbled upon this cache.
Yep.
It's surrounded in poison ivy. It's in the middle of the it's in the middle of a woods. Nobody it's in a tree.
Yep.
You know, somebody have to like look in the tree. No one is stumbling upon that. That means someone stole it. Now, if you're playing this game, why would you steal an ammo can? I mean, I know ammo cans are totally getting stolen all over the place these days. I have no idea why. Like, I mean, can you scrap them for money or something?
It's not World War II. We don't need that.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna go 100 feet out in the woods through poison ivy to get 10 cents worth of metal.
Yeah.
I don't get why people are stealing this. I don't, and it's happening. I mean, I don't know how it's happening in your guys' states, but it's rampant
in the Asian area right now.
What the hell's going on? Who's taking these? What are they doing with them?
The one that got me was the Lock and Lock box that I had hid up in Henderson, up in northern North Carolina, and put on the inside of the lid is, please leave this here. This is a game piece. Mm-hmm. They took off the lid, took the rest of the geocache, and left the lid.
There you go.
I mean, really? So, yeah, you get it, like they said, you are set up for disappointment if you're going to sit there and expect things to.
It really amazes me, like some of my caches. I mean, I get it. Sometimes you put a cache in a bad spot. I get it. You know,
yep.
You see these caches that people, it gets archived. Somebody else puts a cache in the exact same spot. It keeps getting muggled. It gets archived. Somebody else puts a cache in the
Maybe that's
spot.
A clue.
Yeah. It's all new caches.
Every time a new cache
goes, hey, how come there's not a cache here? Well, obviously there was one there. A bunch of times. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone numerous times to the same exact location and signed a log.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From New Cancher.
Yeah, there's a great spot by, not too far from me, that's on a lake, and it's got some big square granite blocks, you know, like 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot granite blocks, and they're kind of stacked around there. Mm-hmm. And so every couple of years, someone puts out a new cache there, and then it'll it'll wind up getting archived within a year, and then some new cacher comes along, puts another one there, and
just, like, the site's great. The person that lives down the road that's keeping an eye on it does not agree.
That's the key. I think it's the, one of the security guards there. You know, when he sees people climbing out onto the granite blocks in the lake and looking around, he's like, "Well, let me find what they're finding and get rid of it."
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know why. I don't know why he just doesn't accept it and just, like, at least help people. You know, if anything.
Yeah, you can mentor.
You got some that you know, Deputy Do Right.
Yes.
Parking lot police that. Just feel like, you know, this is my area. I'm protecting it. You can't do anything here without my permission. And you're like, really, dude?
But then you've got the vice versa. You've also got the neighbors who will come out and be like, you're in the wrong tree. It's over there. Like, thank you.
Which I love that.
You love those people. You know, those people.
I love the business owner that sticks their head out and says, if you get stuck, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, some people get it, and you know,
yes,
especially business owners, it's only going to help you. It's not going to hurt you at all.
Yes,
you
know exactly.
I can't say how many times a cashier has been outside a restaurant and I've gone in and eaten. You know, just you know, but like, especially when the cashier says they know what's there.
Yeah,
you know, they know what's there. It's okay.
Yep,
I respect that.
And, you know, when you get a community that has embraced it, like West Bend there has embraced it. Down here, Brenham has embraced it. You know, there are certain communities that have really embraced it, and those are the best ones to go cashing in.
You know, West Bend, I've never seen a place embrace it like West Bend.
Yeah.
Maybe
West Virginia's got Tim's got some good stuff.
No, over there, Crystal Lake, yeah. Illinois. They've embraced it as well. Very, you know, they have their coins every year.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
amazing. They've totally embraced it.
Yeah. Okay, let's I've got one more here that kind of touches some of what we had, but I thought also was very nicely put. Some cash owners give up after many years, often after more than a decade, and they have had what is required. It still cannot be denied that geocaching has changed dramatically over time in many aspects, and if someone decides that cache ownership meanwhile brings more frustration than joy and decides to quit active cache ownership, then this is certainly not implying that these persons have missing capabilities. Absolutely. I mean, if you've got the talent to do all this and to be a creative geocacher, all I would hope in a case like this, and this is just my own personal opinion, if you have the abilities to create geocaches, then mentor other geocachers with the talent that you have. Show them how to make these creative things. Let it spread that so that they can go out and try doing things as well. Don't put your back to it. Just point it in a different direction that's not going to personally affect you.
Right. Yeah, this is a whole other thing. You know, I don't know whether this cache was in a well-populated area or whether a rural area, but, you know, I know that in the smaller communities like West Bend and things like that, you know, everybody knows about it. So everybody's, you know, encouraged about it, and everybody kind of gets together about it. But I mean, in larger communities where, you know, not everybody's getting together, I can definitely see it being an issue to where, you know, there's new people who come in and they're, you know, they're all alone. Whereas, you know, when the community of geocache can get together, when there's a newbie and meet together and get together and mentor in the way
it
should.
It's all it takes. I
mean, that's what keeps the game.
Not even mentor, but also respected. I mean, like,
oh yeah.
I tell you, I've gone to West Bend for 5 years in a row. I don't think I've ever DNF'd a cache there. Ever.
Getting the new cachers to come to events, that's sometimes a challenge because a lot of them are afraid. It's like, I don't know any of these people. How am I going to fit in here? Yeah, but, you know, if I run across a newbie out in the field and stuff, it's like, I'm always encouraging them. You know, you really should come out to some of the events, meet some other cachers, talk about caching, enjoy yourself, or just have a good time, eat, drink, be merry.
I think one of the key things that I've seen in any successful geocaching community is at least one individual to start that gets in touch with the Chamber of Commerce, because that always seems to be key, so that you have the ability to communicate to multiple businesses and be able to start that type of thinking, the West Bend type thinking, the West Virginia thinking, the Martinsville thinking, the, you know, all those different type of things. It takes one person to do it. And if they can, if they want to do that, and if they really want to make a statement for the geocaching community where they live, that's where you start. And it doesn't have to be huge, but you got to get the ball rolling somewhere. And if you can get some of the businesses involved where they can do this, and you start doing the events, you start gathering people, then you're going to have more experienced people in that area to also teach the new people, hey, this is the way to do geocaching. This is the right way. This is what you look for. This is how you respect and go that way. But you, it only starts with one person to do that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, and it's, and obviously events are always difficult, especially for, you know, to go, especially, you know, if you've never been to one before, you don't know anybody, you know. I mean, I think it took me 3 months before I met somebody else caching.
Yeah.
So for 3 months I didn't know anybody, you know. I thought I was doing it by myself, you know, that I finally met somebody on the trail, and then I cached with them a lot, and then he said, you should go to events. And finally I went to one by myself, literally went to one by myself.
Yes.
Just walked up and said hey, and you know, and I met some awesome people I'm still friends with to this day.
Yes.
I met at that event, you know. So it is worth it. You know, anybody newbie there, it is definitely worth it to go.
I was solving a puzzle cache of a local cacher here, and I was having some issues, and you know, one little hint, and you know, I contacted them, and after I solved it, you know, he said, you know, good job, you know, you should really come out to meet some of these people or some of the your fellow cachers. We do a monthly meet and greet hereby, and so I decided to give it a chance.
Yeah. I went to the first one that I ever went was again by myself, and I just happened to stumble into they had probably maybe 40-50 people there. I'm a little intimidated because I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what's going on, and I happened to stumble next to Geo13, who is a couple now that has somewhere in the neighborhood, I don't know, 40,000-50,000 geocaches. Nice elderly couple, and we talked the whole time. They're introducing me to people. They're taking me through and just saying, hey, this is the type of thing that you're, you know, what do you have interest in, and how do you, you know, what do you want to do as a geocacher, and here's all the possibilities. I was so geeked after that, talking with them at one event, that just made the rolling ball for everything else that I did.
Yeah, and I think that's the key is that first, how you feel at that first event.
Yep.
You know, is really, I think, If you go early,
yeah,
in your caching career. Another way to do it, if you're a new cacher, just a whole other show too.
Oh yeah.
Another thing to do if you're a new cacher is put a cache on your property. Believe it or not, I can't tell you. You know, I put and it was a nice FU hide on my property. I work from home, so I said, hey, if you can't find it, ring the doorbell. I'm probably home.
Right.
From home. And I met more people that way.
Yes.
Ringing my doorbell, so hey, I can't find it. Can you help me?
I would love to do that, but my wife would shoot me.
Yeah, that's how I met Walt, as
yes,
a matter of fact.
Really?
Walt came knocking on my door. Yeah, it's that I can't find it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the one thing, if I can give one piece of advice to people that are either new to geocaching or even for the veterans, if you see somebody that you are in an event and you know they are new, walk up, introduce yourself, and say hi. That's all it takes. Say hi.
Yeah.
Where are you from? How many geocaches? Oh, really? Hey, cool. I've got some cool ideas. And just get the ball rolling. That saves so much trouble or frustration for somebody who's new. Matter of fact, NCGO does this at their fall fling, and I hope they do it with other ones as well. If it's the first time that you're going to an event there, you get a little heart on your name tag. so that other geocachers can see that you're new. And then you go through and you come up and you make a point of saying, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you. And just start talking. Geocachers don't need an excuse. They need a place. And that's it.
Especially if you know that somebody's new.
Yes.
To make an effort. Yeah. Yeah, efforts will be made. You
know, oh, yeah.
If I don't recognize a face at a geocaching event, I'm going to go introduce myself.
Absolutely.
I don't know, but the Chicago ones, the bigger ones, the Courage ones, there's so many people there. You know,
yeah.
There's you know, roughly 100 people.
Yep.
It's hard to, like, just find a new face. And it's hard to also, it's very easy to sit in the corner with your buddies and talk, you know.
Well, you look for the wallflowers, too.
Yeah, I try and angle. Jesse's very much a sit at a table and talk to your buddies. I love to walk around. I'm a mingler.
Yep.
You know, so especially if I knew somebody was new, then mm-hmm. I'd definitely make an effort to go say, you know, hey, what's up? That's a great idea. I'll bring that up.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. All right, guys, good discussion. I love it when we get into things like this, and we've got like 4 new show ideas, so that's awesome. We'll bring those up over the next couple months. Good stuff. All right, we want to say thank you to everybody in the panel, Scott, Corey, Chad. Thank you so much, as always. You guys are the awesome, and let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you, Lisa, from cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcasters. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.